Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show podcast.
Big question, of course, is will the Mueller report be leaked to the press? What are the odds? What are the odds it'll be leaked to the press? President tells the migrant caravan, turn back now and go home. Turn back now and go home. What a monster, right? Turn back now and go home. You know, I want to make a point very clear. I opened the show with this today. In case you're just joining us, the Obama administration used tear gas and pepper spray every year. It averages out to be about once a month that the Obama administration, their border patrol, their people used tear gas at the Mexican border. All right. It just wasn't reported back then. It certainly didn't have people whining about it. You didn't have Cory Booker coming out and calling this unacceptable and an atrocity, and it's not who we are. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has used 2-chlorobenzalidine malonitrinol, or CS, since 2010, and deployed it 26 times in fiscal year 2012, 27 times in 2013. The use dropped after that, but was still deployed 3 times in 2016, Mr. Obama's final full year in office. And then they also used pepper spray. They used pepper spray a lot more. Border authorities also used another agent, pepper spray, frequently, including a decade-high record of 151 instances in 2013. Also under Mr. Obama, pepper spray known as pavacapsicin, I'm absolutely botching that, but it's okay, was used 43 times in fiscal year 2018. A recent Washington Post article about the use of tear gas by the Border Patrol talks a lot about the Chemical Weapons Convention, the use of poison gas in World War I. Now, I should mention this is from National Review, Jim Garrity, a great piece on this, and Saddam Hussein's use of chemical weapons, as if any of that is comparable to the use of tear gas. You know, that's what the Washington Post did in this article, of course, by bringing up World War I. In World War I, they used mustard gas. It was horrific. The use of chemical weapons by Saddam Hussein was, you see what they do here? They try to equate Trump to these people, right? Like they equate the president to the monsters that deploy chemical weapons, because technically speaking, tear gas and pepper spray are chemical, but technically speaking, most things in the world are chemicals that you have access to. So, I mean, most things are, right? So, but when they say chemical warfare, it's supposed to elicit a certain response, an emotional response in you. I mean, you use chemicals to take care of your lawn, I imagine, unless you're Dawn. You use chemicals on food, again, unless you're Dawn. You use chemicals in lots of different places. And but what they do in this article is they bring up World War I, mustard gas. They bring up Saddam Hussein because they want you to think it's on the same level. The Convention on the Use of Chemical Weapons says explicitly, quote, riot control agents may not be used as a method of warfare, but may be used for certain law enforcement purposes, including riot control. That idiot congressman, the guy who ran for Congress, pepper sprayed himself just to show you what kind of an idiot he is. That guy is amazing. Still one of the funniest things we've ever done on radio. Pepper spraying himself in his own eyes. A Democrat running for, shocking, I know, running for Congress. In 2008, the police used pepper spray and tear gas at the Republican National Convention. And a couple of these guys writing this piece found themselves to be the victims of it. In 2008, the National Review crew was in St. Paul, Minnesota, covering the Republican National Convention. Mark Hemingway and I were on our way to tape a red meat video. We encountered a clash between protesters and police in riot gear. Police fired tear gas to disperse the protesters, and then the wind shifted. Those of us watching the clash from what we thought was a safe distance away found ourselves with watery eyes and burning nostrils. If you need feel the need to simulate the experience, find your nearest pepper shaker, remove the cap, hold it right up against your nostril, and inhale deeply. It's unpleasant, but if this tool is unacceptable for dispersing crowds, what tool is acceptable? Rubber bullets can kill people in the wrong circumstances. Water cannons evoke images of violent crackdowns on civil rights protesters. The aim is to avoid physical confrontation between police and rioters as much as possible. And let me just point that out, too. You know, when this caravan was coming, everybody kept saying, well, the Trump administration's probably going to have the military open fire on them and slaughter them. And that's not going to happen. I think a lot of people would like to see that, though, as sick as that sounds, because then it's even more like the Israeli border, the Gaza Strip. They would love that. But the Border Patrol uses non-lethal methods, as domestic police do, to deal with crowds. And they call this a war crime. So what else, what are they supposed to do instead? What's the alternative for them? Factcheck.org examined the use of tear gas after the Ferguson protests in 2014. Here's what they found. There are a few immediate alternatives to tear gas riot control. There are strategies to prevent riots, including better community relations, a less militaristic appearance, and improved training, all of which have been raised in relation to Ferguson. But once rioting is underway, police need tools to control it, and even though tear gas is far from perfect, says David A. Koplow, a Georgetown University law professor, it continues to be used in that role because there's nothing else better. The current effort to demonize the use of tear gas is offered by folks who don't really want to see crowds of migrants rushing the border stopped. Well, that's the truth. I mean, that really is what it comes down to, right? They don't want them stopped. But why are they rushing the border? What is that about? Put it this way. If you're trying to get into somebody's home, do you barge in? Trying to get to Disney World, you just barge in through the gates? Or do you do what is required of you to get in, to gain access? Obviously, most of the people rushing the border are men. That's obvious now. This is the montage of ABC and NBC nightly newscasts appalled at Trump defending the use of tear gas on these on the migrants. Okay, this is a little montage put together by our friends at Newsbusters. Take a listen.
The images of the tear gas used at the U.S.-Mexico border, seen across the country and the world, thousands of migrants from that caravan have now arrived in Tijuana. Some of them breaking through Mexican security, U.S. Border Patrol, then firing tear gas at them. This mother and her children among those caught in the chaos. Tonight, President Trump was asked about the tear gas.
We met 16-year-old Henry covered in those bandages.
Now, one of the things that he says is that he's not going to stop. He wants to still get into the United States, and he's not going to quit now just because he was wounded.
The clash has forced authorities to close the San Ysidro port of entry, one of the busiest on the planet, for nearly 7 hours. Thousands of people, most there legally, stranded at the border.
Officers are trying to keep the peace after hundreds of people rushed the U.S.-Mexico border yesterday. What started as a peaceful march turned into chaos. U.S. authorities fired tear gas at mostly adult males, but some of it hit women and children, including Maria Mesa, her escape captured in this dramatic photo. We caught up with her today. When I see that photo, I just want to cry, she says, claiming that she wasn't crossing the border illegally, but trying to reach it to apply for asylum. More and more of these tents are springing up at the shelter. U.S. authorities are processing less than 100 asylum applications a day. So this is a backlog with no end in sight. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Tijuana, Mexico.
This is Hallie Jackson in Washington, where the president is now defending how U.S. agents protected the border, firing tear gas at migrants, including the mother who spoke with NBC News about shielding her kids.
Now, again, the Obama administration used tear gas and pepper spray every single year at the border multiple times. Not only did they not call it a war crime, I bet you never even heard about it. I don't remember a single story about this. I don't remember women and children. I don't remember people in bandages. So who are these people that got pepper sprayed and tear gassed by the Obama administration? Who are they? Were they all, wildlings? What the hell, what are the things in the your Game of Thrones, or White Walkers? They just vanished. They're coming to the wall, right? Isn't that what that dumb show's about? The Good Show? They come to the wall, right?
Winter's coming.
And they use defensive measures to get the wild, where they go, the White Walkers?
Yeah.
To not come over the border wall, right?
Exactly.
Perhaps that's who the Obama administration used the pepper spray on. Maybe it was them. They're all vanished. Because they do, they vanish, right? The White Walkers, they're gone. Poof. I guess. I don't know. They can't. Nobody was, or maybe when they used it, nobody, there were no women, no children, and nobody ever cried. Nobody was ever affected by this stuff back then. It was magic tear gas, magic pepper spray.
Chipotle tear gas.
Yeah, that's all it was. It made you feel good inside. It was the kind of tear gas to start your day on a positive note. It was made of kale, perhaps kale gas.
Oof, yeah.
So all these times they used tear gas and pepper spray, and there was not a single story about it, and the media couldn't find one person who had a bad reaction to it, even an allergic reaction, even just needed a tissue at the border. Not one in all the years of the Obama administration. Now it's a violation of the Geneva Convention. This is Brian Schatz of Hawaii. Am I allowed to say that on the air?
I don't know. You just did.
Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz wondered on Twitter if his name violates FCC laws. He wondered on Twitter if the use of tear gas violated the Chemical Weapons Conventions. Representative Barbara Lee of California described the gassing of women and children as an atrocity and called for United Nations inspectors. Progressive darling Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez compared the migrants to Jews fleeing Nazi Germany. All this rendering of garments came despite the fact that tear gas was directed at the adult males who led the charge. Never mind, too, that similar crowd control tactics were used at the border during the Obama administration, and cops used tear gas during disturbances involving U.S. citizens all the time. Yeah, that's another question I have, too. All of these war crimes that have been committed on U.S. citizens by the police, I've never heard of Brian Schatz or Cory Booker giving a damn about that. Now it's a war crime when it's used on the people on the border, but otherwise, not a war crime. This is the thing. Either it's a war crime or it's not. It can't be a pick and choose kind of a thing. Like mustard gas, 100% a war crime every time. There's no acceptable use of mustard gas or, what is it, botulism toxin?
Yeah.
Botox. When you use Botox the wrong way, it's
wrong
ethnic
way.
Cleansing. I still remember there was a joke years ago when Saturday Night Live was funny and didn't have a complete agenda. They made a joke about Botox and they said, botulism toxin. It's not just for ethnic cleansing anymore. I still can't believe they got away with saying that. They would never do it now.
Yeah,
that's a very funny joke. It's not just for ethnic cleansing anymore. But a war crime is a war crime 100% of the time, right? We agree on that point?
Yes.
So what's another example of a war crime? Mustard gas, obviously, using biological weapons, war crime. These things are war crimes. You can't go, well, yeah, but if you use mustard gas at a fair that gets out of control, that's okay. But if you use it down there, it's a war crime. To be a war crime, it has to be a war crime 100% of the time. All the time. Without exception. You can't go, well, yeah, but it's a Thursday. Mustard gas Thursday is okay.
Love mustard gas.
Love mustard gas Thursday. And it was directed at people at Chick-fil-A. So it's perfectly okay to use it then. It's amazing. It's really, truly remarkable here. Anyway, so I just, again, don't know where any of these people were back then. None of these war crime victims ever went to the press. The press never covered all these war crimes. Yeah, all these war crimes were going on at the border, and the press never knew about it, or they get a phone call. Yeah. Hi, media tip line here, New York Times, what can we do? Do you know that they're committing war crimes at the southern border? What do you mean? Well, they're using tear gas. That's not a war crime. Okay. I'll call back when Trump's president. Sorry. Click. Or so you call up and they go, if you're calling to report a war crime, you'll be on hold for 7 years. But we can call you back when Trump's president and does the exact same stuff. And then we call it war crimes. So give us a number and we'll call you back. By the way, don't ever fall for that. If you call an 800 number and they say they're going to call you back, they're never calling you back. Don't fall for that. You are number 162 in line. Rather than wait, we'll call you back. Sure. Right. I'm sure you'll do that absolutely every day.
These days, the media just goes out and finds the people like this.
Yes. Go ahead.
We caught up with her today. When I see that
amazing
photo, I just want to cry, she says.
Got off of them today.
I mean, I'm not so affected by the tear gas that I could still see the photo. So, I mean, the effects weren't permanent, unlike mustard gas, which you can't wash off. But it's still a war crime. And all the people that were the victims of this, they find her. She just happens to be there.
You know.
Oh, hey! I'm available for interviews if anyone needs me. Tweet me at Crying Maria, I believe is her name on Twitter now. At Crying Maria. And then Cory Booker and his tears of rage gas.
Oh.
Obama used tears of joy, hope, and change gas. Very good, Donnie. Very, very good. Well done, sir. Well done.
I had tears of rage when I heard gas. About this experience.
I had tears of rage gas that we used down there at the border. That's the difference. All right. Remember this Zioli axiom. A war crime is a war crime 100% of the time. All right. That's how you know it's a war crime versus something that is okay to use, except when the left says it's not. Some people have said that the term white Christmas, Dawn, is in fact racist or something. I'm not sure what exactly. But in some place, somebody apologized for using the phrase white Christmas. So Bing Crosby, isn't he the one who sang the song,
right,
White Christmas?
Right, I'm dreaming of meaning snow.
Right.
Snowflakes.
Nope. You are dreaming of white nationalism, apparently. So well, you can't play that song anymore.
Maybe that's why Melania did the Christmas trees all in red, which then she's getting criticized for.
She did? Dawn, tell me more about the red trees. Why did she do that?
So, well, you know, I love, she was on QVC. She had her own line. So I always want to watch her fashion, what she's doing. So she released yesterday or this week what she was, you know, just like everybody, like the Zioli family, you decorated.
Yep.
So the White House decorations, she has all these red glittering trees inside the White House. They're gorgeous. So people last year made fun of her because it was white trees. So this year she did red trees. So they were saying it looks like the Handmaiden's Tale, or it looks like a tribute to Vladimir Putin. I mean, it's
definitely.
Guys, like,
definitely.
What?
She's gone red on us. hang on. Let me take John's call real quick. John, John is in Lansdowne. John, you are the first caller to the show today. 5:35 p.m. How are you, bud?
You have a great show, Rich.
Thank you.
Hey, I did 33 years in the military, and when I was stationed in Iraq, I was exposed to mustard gas and sarin. I have a VA disability due to exposure to that. So I can't tell you the countless times I was in the gas chamber where we were exposed to, you know, tear gas. And it's just totally ridiculous when people are complaining and saying that these are war crimes with tear gas and pepper spray. Just give me a break.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it very much. Also, John, thanks for your service as well. So what was it like to be exposed to actual mustard gas?
Well, if you go on YouTube and type in Camp Taji mustard gas, you'll see where the Army was detonating. They were blowing up the mustard gas that they found in the shells, and you can see where the soldiers were exposed immediately to the plume of mustard gas, and you know, it affects your breathing. I have a swallowing problem now.
Hmm.
You know, I'm sure it was a low dose, but it's just nasty stuff.
Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you listening. I hope you're okay. You're getting good treatment from the VA. They're taking good care of you, I hope.
Yep. They're great service there.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very
yep.
much. Yes, there's a big difference between that idiot guy running for Congress who pepper sprayed himself. He didn't mustard gas himself. You know, there's a reason why he did not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or shoot botulism toxin in his face. now, let me ask you, Dawn, this question. Do you use a real tree, a real Christmas tree in your house?
We used to until we realized because of David's asthma and allergies, the pediatrician said, go to artificial.
Go to artificial.
Yep.
Because of the children, for the children.
Well, a child.
The child. For the child.
In this particular case, yes.
So he was allergic to Christmas trees.
Well, real Christmas trees can have like a little mold on them.
Right.
Or something.
Or a squirrel.
So they can.
Squirrel.
Or a moldy squirrel.
A moldy squirrel.
So
raccoon living in there.
So I don't even have a real wreath in the house.
Wow.
True story.
Very festive in there.
So David's like, he's going to tell you, like, oh, thanks, blame me.
Very
so
festive
have
in the house.
Yeah, it's very. There's no real anything. It's just
no.
Do you like spray that stuff so it smells like a real.
You'd probably be allergic to that too.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I can have a candle. I have like a scented candle.
Is that inside or outside the bubble? His bubble. I played Trivial Pursuit with him last week. It was great. He did such a good job. It was the Moops. So I want to read you this story now. This is Dorchester. Is that how you say it, Massachusetts? Dorchester. How do you say that? Those
Dorchester,
stupid,
yeah.
dumb
yeah,
places yeah, up yeah. there. But they say like Dorchester or something.
Dorchester.
Dorchester. They don't even pronounce all the letters.
It's a hideous, hideous area.
The Dorchester Historical Society sent out a holiday card to its supporters with the words, "We're dreaming of a white Dorchester." And they apologize. "We are very sorry about the graphic used for the event. This was an unfortunate oversight on our part, and the event photograph has been removed from our social media. We are simply changing the words to the classic Christmas carol, and we did not think it through properly." From the Dorchester Historical Society, adding, "We failed to remember how many of you people are freaking snowflakes triggered by everything." In a tweet Monday, the Historical Society representing the city's Dorchester neighborhood apologized for the graphic, calling it an unfortunate oversight. So the picture was, we're dreaming of a white Dorchester Historical Society, and you look at it, and it's clearly a play on white Christmas, because it's snowing, but they went, well,
clearly racist.
Clearly racist, because Dorchester, Massachusetts, the haven for it. Anyway, they've now apologized. Dorchester is one of the city's most diverse communities. Blacks make up 45% of the population, Hispanics 18%, and whites 22%. So the Historical Society clearly wanted the majority population to know that they hope that they were all gone this Christmas. God. How stupid are people? I mean, how dumb are people? This is the kind of stuff that really chaps my goat. You know what I mean?
I bet you five people complain to. Not
None
even
of them
five.
Who live there.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Let's clarify this. Yeah. The five people that complained, 100% of those five people did not live in Dorchester,
nope.
have no idea,
nope.
And 0% of the citizens who live in Dorchester knew about this or cared about
right,
this
or cared.
Or gave a damn about nope. this. Right, including the 45% of the city's population who's black. They're thinking of other issues,
yep.
not this stupid tweet.
It's probably somebody who went to Harvard.
Yeah. Hi, I'm a social justice millennial, and I find your tweet very offensive. And I want you to please take it down now. Thank you. I'd like to white-splain why people should be offended, why minorities should be offended by your tweet. So allow me the opportunity to do that, please. Oh, so they're now upset that it's still called the White House, Dawn. You understand? The White House. They want that change too.
Well, what would they do? Repaint it? Like
Why
make
not?
It blue?
Rainbow colors. Like the dumb rainbow fish. Remember that book? Remember that holiday
oh,
classic
yes,
when I read
right.
that on the air?
Didn't Mama Zioli buy that?
Yeah, she did. And that book is banned in our house. That's communist book, the rainbow fish.
Zioli burning books. Banning yeah. books. In
banning
the
books.
Well, that would be interesting because I think the Trumps would prefer not to have it painted white. You know, they're all into decorating.
Yeah, he would make it gold and glittery
yeah.
and gaudy. I mean, that's the taste he has.
With the big Trump sign, exactly.
Yeah, the White House would be a gold, a 24-carat plated gold. And
with like a dome.
A roof to it. The we did our tree this weekend. We did a real Christmas tree.
Aww. Oh, wow.
Yep, we decorated the house. We're all decorated, which is nice. And my son, Patrick's so smart. You know, he's 4. And we hung the stockings over the chimney. My son said to me, "Dad, how does Santa fit down the chimney? He's so fat." Yeah. And I explained to him how Santa is like Ant-Man. He's able to change his size. He's all into, you know, the Avengers now and everything. So that's what I told him he's able to do. Then he goes, "But yeah, but Dad, what if the people don't have a chimney? How does Santa get in?" And I said, "Breaking and entering, pal. It's very simple. He's, yeah, he just he comes right in. He just knocks. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's Santa Claus.
Hey, Santa." And so that's what I told. What would you have told him? What would you have said in that moment? Very smart kid. Very smart.
Well, I actually said that I leave the one side door, the patio door, unlocked. Yeah.
They don't believe that. Nobody who knows you would believe that you would leave that door unlocked ever. Even when, like, it's when you're home, you wouldn't leave it unlocked.
I said, "Buddy sleeps there. The dog sleeps by the door." Because only Buddy would let only Santa in.
Dawn has armed elves who sit around and they guard the door so that nobody but the real Santa can get in. I like it. That's good. Yeah. Very, very nice. Well, look, I would just tell you that there's a A lot of fun stuff that happens when you've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old for Christmas. It's a very exciting time in our house. They're very excited by this.
Did Patrick help you pick out the tree?
He did.
Yeah,
he picked out the tree, and then I picked out one that was $10 cheaper.
No, buddy. This is the magical tree right here.
Actually, I think it's this one here.
Do you cut it down yourself?
You know, look, we were going to this year. We were. I was so excited. I said to Bridget, I go, let's go cut down a tree, and, you know, we'll saw it down and everything like this. But we just decided it was easier just to go buy a tree. Because the kids would not care, and it would take a long time to do. And then I also am not very strong, so I don't know about using a saw. You know what I mean? Like, they don't give you a chainsaw. They give you an old school.
Yeah, one of those things that's all rusty. And...
yeah, it could take me days. I could still be there right now. So we'll do that in the future. We'll definitely do that in the future. And a lot of fun stuff there. But anyway, all right, 855-839-1210. I just wanted to mention this as well here. Where's the story now? I can't find it. Oh, the weed man was in New Jersey. Did you see him today, Dawn, when you were in New Jersey?
I didn't. I missed him.
So the picture is the weed man, Senate President Steve Sweeney, holding a nugget of marijuana.
Yes.
And this picture's gone everywhere. The weed man. We should get him on the show. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
So he was outside the state house yesterday selling pot, like in front of the state, because he wants the publicity.
Right.
So they didn't arrest him.
He spoke yesterday.
Right. He did. He testified.
Yeah.
I saw him at Taco Bell last night on the way home. So weird. It's amazing how that works.
They're both tear gassing children, like what we saw at the border.
They're not, as you know, they're not. They had to use because they were being rushed by some very tough people. And they use tear gas, and here's the bottom line. Nobody's coming into our country unless they come in legally.
That's the president, obviously, even though I stepped on him at the beginning. Welcome back. Glad you're here. Look, the tear gas issue, it's amazing. I mentioned a lot of statistics about how many times it was used by the Obama administration, but yeah, it's, again, you're not going to hear that stuff. It's like you're not going to hear the story of the guy in L.A., Mohammed, triumphing over Jews at a Los Angeles synagogue. In all the talk of anti-Semitism, somehow the media won't get to this story. It just happened a few days ago. Ah, they're busy. This is some of the reaction, the hysteria. Tear gas and pepper spray. Been used for years by the government. So they asked the president, are you comfortable tear gassing children? I always go with the children, right? Never the burly guy throwing a rock at someone's face or a bottle or running towards the border or trying to smash a fence. Never that guy. It's the children. This is now Joy Behar asking Bernie Sanders about the border gassing children. Cut five.
The lovely and talented Senator Bernie Sanders is here. I love him. We're going to jump into some hot topics with you, all right? Okay. So let's talk about the border, because over the weekend we saw authorities firing tear gas on migrants. Some of them were children, a few were children even. And Trump is saying that he could close the border permanently. What are your thoughts on when you see this type of thing?
I think, Joy, for a start, we have got to understand who these people are and where they're coming from. In most cases, these are men, women, and children who are coming from countries like Honduras and Guatemala, El Salvador, where the poverty rate is abysmally high, where there is crime, where there is drug cartel violence, which is really terrible. Mm-hmm. And these are desperate people who want a better life for their kids.
Are they escaping violence?
Yes, in many cases they are.
We're going to take them in Vermont. Send them to one of my four houses to live there. Joy, I have four houses. So send them to one of my palatial estates, Joy. Now, this is, let's see now. Let's see. MSNBC reporter with migrants, some of the migrants who were there. All right. Cut number 10.
Stay on this for a moment, because some people look at these images and they listen to the president, who says it's not women and children, it's stone cold criminals. So my first question is, you're in that tent camp. Besides that family, give us a profile of who is there mostly and what are they looking for? Because it seems as though, to your point, they don't actually have the necessary information so they know how to cross the border. There could be people yesterday who were running because they thought it was their only chance.
Right. And it's very difficult because this has become such a polarizing issue. If we kind of take a walk, you'll be able to see for yourself. Again, this is the inner sanctum of the shelter. So you're going to see a lot of families here, a lot of women and children. But the truth is the majority of the people that are part of this caravan, especially outside, if we can make our way all the way over there, we'll show you the majority of them are men. So when this becomes a polarized political...
Oh. That's awkward.
The United States, you have people on one side that point and say there are women and children here, and that is true. And then there are others who point and say these are men that are trying to cross the border, and that's true too.
It's truer. So that's more true. So this is what we do here. We have a little test here, and I guess now the question is it
basically true
that more men? Yes, more men are there. So that's truer than. That, by the way, that guy's never been heard from again. I think MSNBC mustard gassed him after acknowledging that most are men, because she's leading him right mm-hmm. now. It's all women and children, right? He's like, well, the truth is, it's actually mostly men. I can't hear you. Sorry, we lost the connection. Take this guy out back and shoot him, please, so he'll never be on MSNBC again. That's I forget his name. He's now missing in action. Yeah, Schwartz.
So sad.
As of this afternoon, there are 5,738 being housed at the main migrant shelter. 3,600 are men, 1,000 are women, 1,000 are children. So I'm a math guy, but it seems like 3,600 is more than 1,000 by a couple. To one or two,
yeah,
like more than.
But they said at that wall situation, the Border Patrol people are saying that there were 1,000. They're saying it was 1,000, mostly men,
right?
And that there were agents injured, that they were responding because they were, you know, imagine somebody throwing a rock at your head. So there were four people injured.
I do it all the time.
We'll show you. The majority of them are men.
I know you want to make it all about women and children, but there's a lot of dudes here, scary dudes, throwing rocks and bottles.
It's a sausage fest here.
Just making a point. Waco. Everybody keeps bringing up Waco. Was Waco ever called a war crime?
No.
I mean, I know that some people criticized Waco, rightfully so. But I don't remember them calling it a war crime when they used tear gas on the people and also burnt them and killed them and everything else.
They exploded the building.
Yeah, I don't remember that the call of a war crime back then. I remember calling a botched law enforcement effort, which is being kind, but I certainly don't remember them calling it a war crime.
Never.
War crime. By the way, Joy Behar really does love Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, she does. She does. Seem to.
She really loves him. It's amazing. All right, we got to do this thing we do.
The lovely and talented Senator Bernie Sanders is here. I love him.
I love him. I almost wish I didn't go through my change. You know what I mean, right? My special change.
I love him. Like, can you imagine being
those two together?
Introduce
Joy. I'm going to make you a woman, and stop. I feel like a woman, Joy.
Oh God.
Oh, my goodness.
Greg, you got to do this thing we got to do. Come on.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to David Marchesano. David Marchesano says, Rich, I got it. Blow hot steam vapor, not a chemical. It's a good point.
Hot steam vapor. No, let's go back to boiling water, like they used to do in medieval England. Boiling water, tar. Let's do that. Tar. And, you know, not pepper spray, tar. Thank you to Flemington Furs for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs, what fabulous feels like.
Rizzioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.